الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ليس الغنى عن كثرة الأرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, as Muslims we believe that the day of Friday is such a day which is full of blessings, a day which is full of brightness, a day which is full of mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day of Friday, we consider this day to be the best day of the week. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in the hadith that inna yawm al-jumu'ati sayyidul ayyami wa a'zamuha inda Allah. The day of Jumu'ah is the king of all the days. The day of Jumu'ah is the leader of all the days. Many, many virtues have been mentioned with regards to the day of Jumu'ah. Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned 33 virtues of the day of Jumu'ah. And Hafiz Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned more than 100 exclusive features and characteristics of the day of Jumu'ah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this creation from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, after Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, many nations came to this world. Allah gave this option to choose a day for his dhikr, for his fikr, and for his ibadat and worship. He gave this choice and option to the nation of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and also the nation of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When this choice was given to the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they chose Saturday to be this day wherein they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why they chose Saturday is because this is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the creation of this universe. So their notion and mindset was that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed his creation on this day, everybody else should bring their busy schedule to an end and there should be a pause and halt in their endeavors of life. So they chose Saturday for this day to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same choice was given to Christians, the nation of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They chose Sunday to be this day. This is why even up to today, we see them going to the churches on Sundays. Why did they choose this day, Sunday? They chose Sunday because they thought that the creation started running on Sunday. So basically all kinds of bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the kamalat and excellences initiated and began on Sunday. As a token of appreciation, we should spare some time, supplicate to Allah, turn to Allah and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the choice was given to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They chose Friday to be the day. And this was the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which nation chooses the best day for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wanted the nations to choose Jumu'ah, Yawmul Jumu'ah, because this is the best day in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely guided this nation towards choosing the day of Jumu'ah to be the day that wherein they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worship Allah. So this day of Jumu'ah is extremely precious, my brothers and elders. In the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that khayru yawmin tala'at fihi shams yawmul jumu'ah. Every day we see that the sun rises, but the best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions further that it is this day when Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam was born. It is this day when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was born. It is this day when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was granted entry into paradise. And it is this day when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was exiled from Jannah and he was sent to this world. A question comes to mind that the exit of Adam alayhi salatu was salam from Jannah, how can this be a blessing of Allah? Because he was told to leave Jannah. Many muhaddithin have mentioned that all three events took place in one day. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was born at the time of Fajr. He entered paradise at the time of Dhuhr. And he was expelled from Jannah at the time of Asr. All three events took place on the day of Friday. How can the ikhraj of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam be a blessing? If Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was not told to leave Jannah and come to this world, we would not have existed. The entire humanity came into existence due to the exit of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And more so, the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the awliya and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the mufassireen, muhaddithin, the fuqaha, the scholars, those people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all came into existence, their mission came forward, and whatever they did occurred due to the exit of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But this was also a blessing from Allah. This also occurred on the day of Friday. This is why this day of Friday is extremely virtuous. I'm trying to drive a point home. This day of Friday is called Yawmul Jumu'ah. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that this is an Islamic name of this day. In the time of Jahiliyyah, it had another name. It was called Yawmul Urubah. And when Islam came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the religion of Islam. This is when this day was named Yawmul Jumu'ah. But Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala in Fathul Bari, in the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari, he refutes the opinion of Ibn Hazm. And he says that this is not correct, that this is the Islamic name of this day. He says that yes, in the ancient time, this day was called Yawmul Urubah. But in the time of Jahiliyyah, the name was changed to Yawmul Jumu'ah prior to Islam. So before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world, this day was already given this name Yawmul Jumu'ah. And the person who gave this name was Ka'b ibn Lu'ay, who comes in the lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was his Jumu'ah is made from Jama'ah, to gather. It was the habit of Ka'b ibn Lu'ay to hold a gathering, and he would gather people and then he would give nasiha and advice and he would share his words of wisdom with the people. This is why this day was called Yawmul Jumu'ah, because it was this day, Yawmul Arubah, when he used to gather everybody. So he used to call everyone, he used to give nasiha. So this Yawmul Arubah was given a new name, Yawmul Jumu'ah. and this was used in Islam as well. There are many virtues of this day. However, in the month of November, the last Friday is considered Black Friday, which was yesterday. Black Friday. In a very great amount, sales take place, consume interest. And many people, they go and look at different kinds of offers and they purchase so many things. And there is a kind of obsession in when it comes to purchasing things. From a Shari'i perspective, there is nothing wrong. It's permissible. It is permissible to go and purchase items. It is permissible for a person to go and benefit from these sales, from these low prices, because it does not have any religious connotation in this aspect. Because this was merely a crowd control system after the day of Thanksgiving. After the day of Thanksgiving, there was a system of crowd control, which was called Black Friday. This is when this began. And in 1980s, in the Western world, this was the beginning time of Christmas sale. This is why there would be a huge sale on this day, and they called it Black Friday. This was only in the Western world. Slowly, slowly, it flourished, and it went throughout the world, and now even the Islamic world is engulfed in this evil, unfortunately. But Islamically, it's not haram. It's not prohibited to take part in these sales. If there is a genuine need for someone to purchase something, buy something, take benefit from these offers, a person can go and take benefit. Let us look at consumerism. This is something which is permissible in our deen. Because consuming or consumption is a need of every human. We need to consume in order to stay alive, in order to survive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your wealth a means of your survival, a means of your existence. Allah has made this wealth a means of our existence. And this wealth in its entirety is not something which is condemned in our Sharia. It is not condemned in the Quran. It is not condemned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes we feel that this world, the wealth, whenever it's mentioned, that it is something so disliked that we should completely disconnect ourselves from this dunya. How are you going to live in this world if you don't consume? If you're not going to earn, if you're not going to spend, if you're not going to purchase, if you're not going to sustain yourself and your family, how are you going to live? How are you going to survive? This is why in the Quran, the same dunya, the same wealth is mentioned as khair. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Khair refers to wealth. Khair refers to wealth, mal, dunya. This is a khair if it's used and utilized correctly. Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, a great, great saint who lived in Indian subcontinent. A great saint, academically and also spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him such knowledge. Allahu Akbar. He was in India, but he wrote such books that when these books reached other ulama, for example, he wrote a commentary on Mu'atta Imam Malik. Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, was a Hanafi scholar. And he wrote a commentary on the fiqh of Imam Malik, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Awjazul Masalik. And when this commentary of Mu'atta Imam Malik reached one of the Maliki scholars, and he read this commentary, he was perplexed. And he was shocked that how come I did not meet this scholar who is of such a high caliber in the fiqh of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he really thought that this was a scholar who is following the fiqh and the school of thought which was initiated by Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala. He made a comment that وَقَدْ حَنَّفَ الْمُؤَتَّى, that today this has become something of a very special quality. the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala due to this commentary. So he found out later on that this was a Hanafi scholar. He was shocked that if this is the level of ilm in the fiqh of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala of this person, can you imagine his knowledge when it comes to the Hanafi fiqh? Because he was a Hanafi alim, Hanafi scholar. This was his academic level. And spiritually he was so high. He was a sheikh of many disciples. Many ulama would go and consult with him. Even the Nizamuddin, the Markaz, was controlled by Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. And his uncle Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was also a great saint, but he would also consult with his nephew Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. Maulana Manzoor Nomani was a great scholar. He was in the Shura of Darul Ulum Deoband. Once he wrote a letter to Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, that it so happens in this world that when the great luminaries are alive, people are unaware of their caliber and they tend to deprive themselves from benefiting them. It is after they pass away, after their demise, people get to know their caliber and their status, and then it's too late for everybody because the person has passed on. So I would like to write a book on you. And I would like to write a biography on your life so that people can understand your caliber and come and benefit from you. If you give me permission, that I will embark on this journey. When this letter reached Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, he wrote a short answer. The Maulvi Manzoor, maut ka na mujhe pata hai na tumhe pata hai. That I am not aware of my death, you are not aware of my death. You are planning on writing a book on me, and it is obvious that you will write praises in regards to me, whereas I am not aware in which state I will pass away from this world. You write and compile a whole book praising me, and if I leave this world, na'udhu billah, without the blessing of Iman, then this book means nothing to me. It does not mean anything to the creation of Allah. It does not mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't write anything, but I leave this world in a successful manner with Iman, and I am granted good death by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am successful in this world, I will be successful in my grave, and I will be successful in the hereafter as well. This was the concern of Akhirat he had. Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. He used to say that wealth and dunya is neutral. It's neutral. It depends how you earn it. It depends how you amass it. It depends how you keep it. It depends how you spend it. Because if you spend it in the correct manner, then it's commendable. If you don't spend it in the correct manner, if you don't earn in the correct manner, if you don't keep it and amass it in the correct manner, then it is not commendable. It will become worthy of criticism. It's not praiseworthy. Shaykh Abul Layth As-Samarqandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, another great Sufi from the 4th century Hijri, he used to say the wealth is of two types. One is madhmum, one is ghair madhmum. Madhmum, ghair madhmum. One type of wealth which is condemned, one type of wealth that is not condemned. Madhmum, ghair madhmum. If your wealth, if your dunya is keeping you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this world is worthy of criticism. And if the same wealth is drawing you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this world, this dunya, this wealth of yours is a means of it's a means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is commendable. So this wealth is something which is good, provided that it stays within the limits of Sharia. Provided that it stays within the limits of Sharia. I was mentioning with regards to the day of Jumu'ah, that this day of Jumu'ah is something very, very virtuous. But in Islam, every Friday is virtuous. There is no special Friday. There is no good Friday. We have Good Friday, we have Black Friday. Every Friday is bright. Every Friday is good. Every Friday is virtuous. Every Friday has merit within it. No Friday has more virtue over the other. This is the approach of Islam. Unfortunately, due to not having knowledge, when we are approached and people come and ask questions to us, like how I mentioned that there are many objections on Islam, because this is one of the conspiracies that is being meted out against Muslims and the Islam, that they are trying to constantly attack the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somehow trying to dent the personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, somehow trying to create some kind of doubts in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslims somehow are disconnected from Allah, they are disconnected from Quran, they are disconnected from their Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and finally they are disconnected from the religion of Islam. So when we are asked these kind of questions, we immediately become apologetic. Why? Due to not having knowledge. Because we ourselves don't possess enough knowledge to stand up for haq and say that no, our religion is haq. This is a religion of truth. And whatever exists in the Quran, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is haq, is truth. And this is the wisdom behind it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do something. This is why the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us to do this. So we were speaking about Black Friday. The problem is not that you spend in your needs. The problem is the growing trend which is becoming prevalent in our society. And the consumption has evolved. The consumption has evolved from survival to almost an ecstasy of amassing and consuming. And this kind of culture and attitude is being fueled through a systematic, seductive advertisement which entices consumers to believe that happiness lies in amassing wealth, in hoarding wealth, in having a lot of wealth. This is how you will gain happiness. And we are made to believe that the more rich you are, the more wealthy you are, the more happy you will be. This is why every person is striving for this, that I become the wealthiest person of my community. I become so wealthy that everybody should look at me as a wealthiest person, and this person has a very luxurious life, and this will bring peace to me, this will bring happiness to me. Believe me, my friends, this will not bring happiness to you, because happiness, peace, tranquility, contentment of the heart lies in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Shaykhul Hadith, Marana Muhammad Hanif Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, mentioned last week as well, that only and only in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peace and tranquility lies. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find peace. So it's not in wealth, it's not having so much dunya, it's not becoming so much rich. A person can be a millionaire, but he can be unhappy. And you have a person who lives in an abject poverty, but he could be the happiest person of the world. Why? Because he has the contentment of the heart. He has the contentment of the heart. But this trend is growing day by day. This is why every person is striving for this. Despite having so much, he is in a mode of inferiority complex, and he always wants more and more and more and more. This is why he already has a car, he wants to have a better car. He already has a watch, he wants to have a better watch. He has a phone, he sees another person having a better phone, he wants to have another phone. He has a pair of shoes, he wants to have more. He has 3, 4, 5 pairs of shoes. Black Friday comes, there is a sale, 70% off, 80% off. Despite having 4 or 5 pairs of shoes, he will still go and buy it. Why? Because of this burning desire to have more and more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes this mindset, this ideology, this way of thinking in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that may destruction be for those. Allah mentions three categories of people. Number one, people who engage in ghibat, in backbiting. May destruction be for those who backbite. May destruction be for those who taunt other people. Who taunt other people. Some people, when they are told that, why are you backbiting someone? Why are you talking ill about someone behind his back? They say that I have no hesitation in saying this in front of him. If he was in front of me, I would have said the same. My brothers, this is not something good. This is something worse than ghibah. This is worse than ghibah. Allah is saying, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Allah is condemning both, criticizing both. That may wail be for those who backbite and who taunt other people. Wail is a kind of destruction we cannot even comprehend. Our faculty of intellect will fail to comprehend and understand the destruction this will bring. Wail is that strong. And according to some mufassirin, wail is a portion in Jahannam wherein people of Jahannam are punished so severely, and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heinous that Jahannam itself seeks protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that portion. Jahannam, it says, itself seeks protection and refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that portion. That's called wail. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. And the third category of people are those, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. Those people who gather and hoard wealth, and يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. They keep counting and they feel that I have so much that, inshallah, even if I was to sit at home and do nothing, place my one foot over the other for the rest of my life, nothing will happen to me. And not only myself, many people say this, that inshallah, 6-7 generations to come after me will benefit from the wealth that I have amassed. This is how much wealth I have. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that destruction be for such people. And more specifically, he says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. Something has made you negligent. التَّكَاثُرُ. التَّكَاثُرُ means to have more, and to be desirous of having more and more, and to compete with each other. That I have this, but the other person has a bigger house, I need to have this house too. First, you need to have a condo. Your friend buys a house in Scarborough, now you want to buy a house. Now this person buys a house in a better area, you want to buy that house. And then he moves to a downtown area, you want to move to a downtown area. At-takathur, al-haakum at-takathur, this has made you negligent. Until when? Hatta zurtum al-maqabir, until you go in your grave. This mindset is mentioned in the hadith as well. That if Ibn Adam, لو أن لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديان. If Ibn Adam was to be given one valley full of gold, he will aspire to have a second one. First, he's not wealthy. He will aspire to have one valley. Oh Allah, grant me some wealth. If Allah grants him one valley full of gold, he will aspire to have a second one. He will be desirous of having a second one. If Allah grants him two, now he'll become desirous of having a third one. I have seen many businessmen, they have one store, now they want to have a second store. After they have a second store, now they want to have a third one. They go up to 15 and 20 outlets, and they still want to have more. They're millionaires, now they want to become billionaires. They're billionaires, now they want to become multi-billionaires. This greed never ends, my brothers. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that law anna libn adam wadiyan min dhahabin ahabba an yakuna lahu wadiyan. And this trend will continue up to where walan yamla afahu illa turab. Only one thing will satisfy and satiate his nafs and his greed, and that is the soil of his grave. When he is buried inside and the soil is thrown upon his grave, only at that time he will be satisfied and his desires will be satiated. Only that time. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. We need to control this. So when the Black Friday comes, we need to really sit down and assess. Am I really in need of this, which the item which I am about to purchase? If you are in need of it, it's permissible for you to go out and benefit from the sales. You can go and spend time. Unfortunately, there is such obsession in this. Allahu Akbar. Many people, they line up 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. And some people from midnight, when they are told to wake up for Fajr Salah, it's difficult for them. It's difficult for them to wake up for Fajr Salah. But when it comes to purchasing things on Black Friday, on other days, Boxing Day sale, and they can wake up 4 a.m., 5 a.m. and go and purchase items. They can wait in line from midnight. If they are told to stand in line outside because they are waiting to go in the masjid, then they start fighting with the volunteers. I am old, can't you see? Now the same person will stand in line. How does this make sense, my brothers? Take stock of our lives. Where is our level of iman? When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are always so anxious that everything should be according to our desire. When it comes to this dunya, we're ready to sacrifice everything. Why is this? Because of the lack of connection we have with Allah. Because of having less concern for the hereafter. Because of having less connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not having the same bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we have with this dunya and the things of this dunya. This is why this is happening. A hadith comes to my mind. Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, after the demise of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard one hadith. The man shahida janazatan falahu qiratun. Falahu qirat, the person who participates in janaza, he will receive thawab equivalent to the Mount of Uhud. Mount of Uhud, it's a big mountain, it's not a small mountain. There are few mountains together and it makes a Mount of Uhud. A person who attends janaza salah, he would receive thawab equivalent to the Mount of Uhud. And if a person performs janaza salah and he also goes to the graveyard, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he would receive thawab equivalent to two qirat, meaning equivalent to two Mount of Uhud. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he heard this hadith, he was so worried and he was kind of upset. And he's sitting in the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he told one person, can you go to Aisha and ask if this hadith is authentic or not? And when this person goes to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ibn Umar is sitting there, he's turning and tossing the pebbles that he had around him and the soil that he had. And he's worried and he's thinking that how many reward did I have wasted already? So when the person comes from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and he informs him that yes, this is an authentic hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he becomes so worried and he is so showing so much remorse and he says, لَقَدْ ضَيَّعْنَا قَرَارِيْتَ كَثِيرًا. We have destroyed and left out so many qaratit and so much reward. Look at their concern, look at their worry when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at our worries. Our worry is for this dunya. Their worry is for akhirah, for thawab, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we compare our lives with the lives of sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala, there is a clear difference. We should try to emulate these sahaba, these companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the harms of excessive consumerism in the days such as Black Friday is debt. When a person does not control his greed and this desire to have more and more, a person will go in debt. And debt is something which is extremely disliked in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extremely disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. O Allah, grant me your refuge from every kind of sin and from death. Luqman Hakim said to his son, that, O my beloved son, beware of debt, because this debt is something which makes you worry during the night, and it makes you disgrace during the day. Because during the night, you cannot sleep due to this worry that how am I going to pay back this debt? And during the day, you are planning, you are going to different people asking them for money. And it brings disgrace to a person. Be aware of debt. Be aware of debt. This is a personal debt, not an institutional. Obviously, if the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in debt, it's our responsibility to take this organization out of debt. And we should strive more. And we should put more effort and give more sacrifice. But this is for personal debt. This is why someone has put it so beautifully that nowadays, that debt has become so common. More than 70% of Canadians live in debt. Someone said it so beautifully that we are living in a debt tsunami. We're living in a debt tsunami. We're living in a debt tsunami. We need to control this. Becoming desirous of having more and more, alhaakum at-takathur. The solution to this is that we can adopt few things in order to control this. Number one, we need to bring zuhd and abstinence from this world. We need to create the reality of this world that I'm only here for a temporary period of time. A time will come when I will have to leave. I'm only here for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And then I'm going to have to go and lie down in my grave. I will be raised and I will be reckoned on the day of judgment. I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the reality. Think about the reality of the hereafter, the eternal life of the hereafter. And inculcate abstinence and zuhd in a person's life. The scholars put it so beautifully that let you own the dunya, not the other way around, not dunya controlling you, not the dunya owning you. There was a scholar who was in the masjid, and a person came and he gave him some money as a gift. He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm okay. Jazakumullahu khairan. This person goes and he puts the money in his shoes. When the scholar is about to leave the masjid, he's trying to wear his shoes, but he's not able to wear it. He took the shoes and he went like this, and all the money started to fall out on the floor. So everything came out, he wore his shoes, and then he stepped on the money and he just walked out. And then after going outside the masjid, he turned to his disciple and he said, Hafizji, this is the difference between us and the people of dunya. The people of dunya run behind dunya. Dunya is running behind us. Dunya is running behind us. And he said that dunya wale dunya ki thokar khate hain, dunya hamari thokar kha rahi. People trip on dunya. Dunya is tripping on us. Because the person left this masjid. The dunya will come, wealth will come to you. Bring zuhd in your life. Abstinence from this dunya, and Allah will grant such barakah, my brothers, it's beyond imaginable. Number one, zuhd. Number two, qana'ah. You should be content with whatever Allah has blessed you with. Contentment is the greatest blessing you can have. And laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-ard, walakinna al-ghina ghina an-nafs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the true wealthiness, richness does not lie in the things of this dunya. The true richness lies in having this qana'at. Qana'at. If a person is content, he might not have anything, but believe me, he will be the richest person of the world. Al-qana'atu kanzun la yafna. Qana'at is such a treasure which does not come to an end. Qana'at is such a treasure which does not come to an end. Al-qana'atu kanzun la yafna. Number two. Number three, be moderate in spending. Be moderate in spending. Act your wage. You say in English, act your wage. The amount of income you have, that's the amount of expenditure you should have. If a person is earning $3,000 and his expenditure is $5,000, he will not be able to meet his ends. And in such circumstances, he will have to take loan from other people, he will have to do other things, indulge in haram, and he will not care where his money is coming from. Now he is indulging in things which are halal and also things which are haram. Why? Because he is not controlling his expenditure. Be moderate in spending. Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned that poverty cannot overcome an individual who is moderate in spending. This is the third point. Number four, do not put gaze on the people who are wealthy. لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed some people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived some people. Allah knows best. Why? Because it's possible if Allah was to give you that wealth, you would have indulged in such disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you would have destroyed your dunya and your akhirah. So Allah deprived you of this dunya. Don't put your gaze on wealthy people and continue to be desirous and become and inculcate this desire that I wish I had the same kind of money and I had the same kind of house and palace and I had the same kind of car. لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به. That's the fourth point. If we put these points in mind, that inshallah we will be able to control our desire of having more and more, and we will be able to stay within the limits of Sharia, inshallah. So let us all go with this firm resolution today that we will earn dunya, we will have dunya, but we will not have the love of dunya in our hearts. It will be in our pocket, it will be in our bank, but not in our hearts. If we have it, alhamdulillah, we will utilize it. If we don't have it, then we will be content. We will be content and we will have qana'at. We will have qana'at. A person came to Bayezid Bustami rahimahullahu ta'ala. A youngster came from Balkh. Balkh was a place where there were many scholars and many pious people. He came to Bayezid Bustami rahimahullahu ta'ala. Bayezid Bustami was a saint of his time. So he said to this youngster, "The mazzuhd." What is zuhd? What is zuhd? The youngster, before he answered, he said to Bayezid Bustami, "That can you explain? I'm a young person, you are a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Bayezid Bustami rahimahullahu ta'ala thought that he was an ordinary youngster, so he tried to make zuhd easy for him. And he said that the people around me in this city, their notion and their mindset of zuhd is that when they have something, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. That when we have something, we eat. And when we don't have, we persevere and we have patience. This is the definition of zuhd. The person, the youngster who came from Balkh, he was a step ahead and he said to Bayezid Bustami that, "I'm quite shocked to hear this from you, because back home in Balkh, the condition of the people there is, the zuhd is that when we have, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we give preference to other people. When we don't have, we persevere and we have patience. We give it to other people, we don't spend it." So this is a high level of zuhd. If we cannot have this, at least the zuhd which Bayezid Bustami rahimahullahu ta'ala mentioned, that when we have, we use it. When we don't have, we have patience and we persevere. If we do this, then inshallah, we will be in the boundaries of Sharia and we will not exceed these boundaries and not fall in the different kind of vices and sins and disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.